So we can get into whatever here. I know Joey wants to talk about pyramids. He wants to talk about stuff to do with with weed, basically.
Yes, sir.
And I know Gloria is interested in the pyramids and maybe wants to ask you some questions. So I brought her on. And anybody in the chat, if you have any questions for Joey about any, not just what we're saying now, but anything from his interview, you guys all just heard his interview. Call in. Ask Joey whatever you want about anything he brought up or anything I didn't ask that you probably said, Brian, why didn't you ask him this? Why didn't you ask him that? You can call in. It's 978-435-0006. And I'll just put it in the chat real quick before I let Joey start talking about pyramids. That's the number right there to call in, guys, okay? 978-435-0006. But we'll try and keep an eye on the chat now more so than during the interview. So if you have questions.
Your phone is ringing. Ring, ring. Pick it up, Brian. I want to know everything pyramids. Can Joey answer that, please?
I can.
Let's do this because I love pyramids. I've studied them for years. Go ahead. Let's go.
So everybody who's watching right now, just be a team player and share this video in a few different social media groups like Facebook, okay? And also subscribe if you haven't already, okay? But Gloria, I'm really glad that you're interested in pyramids because don't you want to know how they were built?
I kind of have my own theory, but I'd love to hear yours.
Okay, so here you go. This is not my theory. This is me doing research on a guy named Dr. Davidicus. He's a French scientist who about 15, 20 years ago, he was trying to get permission from the directors of antiquities, Firas Zahavi. I'm sure you know who that is. But he was corrupt at that time. Yes. So the antiquities director wasn't allowing them to get little pieces of the casing of the Giza pyramid to examine it under electron microscope. They weren't getting permission from that. Well, anyways, fast forward a little bit to the future, and the antiquities director was thrown out, and the new director allowed them permission to research under an electron microscope the casings of the pyramid. What he found amazed him. He found out that it was only 96% organic, and he went, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And he also saw little things called filaments in there. That's what you use commonly in concrete. So what he decided in his mind automatically was, oh my gosh, is this an ancient form of concrete? Well, what he did is he reverse engineered it. So he took that same piece of that sample of the casing of the Giza pyramid, and he put it under an acid base, and he basically dissected the ingredients that were inside of it. And he found out that it was salt, water, lime, ash, and bicarb. So salt, you know where you get salt from, obviously, it's easy to get. Lime, that's real easy to get. Water from the Nile. Ash from the burning of palm trees. Right? And sodium bicarb. It's really simple ingredients. So sand is everywhere, right? All over the desert. So what he did is he actually went into proving that the pyramids of Giza could be created using geopolymer technology. Geopolymer technology, there's a whole institute dedicated to it. But long story short, let's getting back into that. He actually went to Egypt to duplicate this successfully. The only other people that tried to do it failed. There was the Japanese in 1979. They tried to use equipment that the Egyptians supposedly used back in those times. They failed miserably. They had to cheat and use helicopters and cranes. They still couldn't do it because of the quarrying issue. Mm-hmm. So here's how it works. If you've ever heard of J&B cold weld, it's a liquid metal that if your radiator busts on you while you're driving, you can pull over, let it cool down, put this liquid metal on, and it does a cold bond. It does a cold cast bond. Right. Well, in the same fashion, when you add salt, sand, water, lime, and ash, and bicarb together, they form a conglomerate that basically is ancient cement. And he duplicated this. It only takes about 8 to 12 hours for it to harden. And here's the process. You get wooden crates the size that you want these cubes to be in their final stage. Pour in the salt, the water, the lime, the ash, mix it, let it sit for about 8 to 12 hours. It hardens into a block of concrete. So if you're wondering how they're able to stack all these things, quarry them, all they had to do was get these wood crates. And the same thing with every single ancient. It's as simple as that. All the ancients knew it. That's why there's pyramids everywhere. There's not just pyramids in Egypt, of course. There's pyramids all over China.
How did so many people overlook this idea?
Because the quarrying is what threw people off. because they saw some quarries where they're like, okay, well, look, they were quarrying. So how did they get it over there, right? Well, they weren't doing that at all. The ancients had way more technology than we have. Obviously, they built the pyramids, right? But their technology was a very simple technology. It's called geopolymer technology. And to this day, NASA, our enemy, uses geopolymer technology to build their platforms for the rocket launches, because they can build an instant, in one day, they can build a platform, a huge concrete platform that lasts. Now, if you're questioning, wait a minute, concrete, how could it last that long? Well, look at the Greek and Roman concrete. It's still around today. But our best concrete only will last about 50 years. The further you go back in time, the better the technology was. So right. Think about, before you think if it's true or not, think about how much simpler it would be to basically use concrete to build anything you want, any structure you want. Of course, it'd be super easy, right? Well, is it provable? The Giza pyramid itself, Dr. Davidicus was able to figure out that the casings of the Giza pyramid were made using an ancient form of concrete. So does that mean exactly that that's what they did? Well, there's no way to know unless we actually traveled back in time. However, if you're able to reduplicate something in a peer-reviewed manner, which he did, it's all filmed and everything, that tells you that that's most likely how they were able to accomplish this feat. And geopolymer is something that's huge. There's a whole institute dedicated to it called the Geopolymer Institute. So in a nutshell, that's how the pyramids were built.
But to me, that's like a no-brainer. I thought that for years and years and years. I was like, why do they think that they're pulling these stones? Why did they? It's like just so stupid. It doesn't make sense. But as far as the concrete, yeah, I've heard about that. I've heard about the way the concrete was made, the chemicals made up in that concrete. Yeah. And how come we don't use that today, like for structures?
Well, we do. There's a whole institute dedicated to it, but it's expensive. You could actually do it yourself. You could try and create it yourself, but it's not that easy. But geopolymer technology is actually being implemented today in everyday structures that you would see. It's only been around, the technology has only been around for about 15 years, and it's only been popularized in the last 7 or 8 years. So just like with everything, it's slow to grow. And
something like that, even though it's a little bit more expensive, it doesn't make sense because that concrete lasts for thousands of years compared to 50 years, 60 years that we have right now, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of ridiculous. I love anything pyramids. I've always been addicted. And I think the biggest Mandela for me was when the pyramids were in different positions and they didn't quite line up with Orion's belt anymore. So that was a big one for me. But I think the pyramids are great. You know, did you know that it's a harmonic structure that each block resonates a frequency? Did you know that?
I didn't know that. That doesn't surprise me whatsoever because, you know, when you look into how the pyramids were built, you realize that even though it was using geopolymer technology, an ancient form of cement, that's like the most least important thing about how it was built, how they got it aligned so perfectly. And then I'm sure you know this, Gloria, and everyone else listening, that whenever, I forget what year they figured this out, but the Giza pyramid isn't just four sides. It's actually eight sides. You know that? Right. And when you see that and you see different times of the year where it creates different shadow patterns,
kind of weird for me too. Actually, believe it or not, Joey, that was a Mandela for me too, because it always had four sides. And then about like 8 years ago, they came out and said, no, it has eight sides because we caught it when the sun was hitting it the right way and we were in a plane. And I'm like, really, guys, come on. You've been flying in planes for how many years? And you just noticed there's eight sides. So for me, that was a shift. For me, but the pyramid, I mean, just the, like I said, just the way like each stone resonates, it has a different frequency. I think it's amazing, you know, and they're saying that they think it was built to stabilize the Earth's tectonic plates because of the way where it's situated. I think it's pretty awesome. Also with that, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a sarcophagus in there in the pyramid, and that sarcophagus, when you hit it, it's actually tuned to the human heartbeat. It's the same frequency as a human heartbeat, which I think is like amazing. That's
Gloria. Did you know that the Giza pyramid years back was covered in white mica?
Yes. Well, so they say, yeah.
Yeah, so they say, right? But I believe that's actually true because I've looked at a lot of old videos where people were going over there and researching it amongst the locals. And the locals say that that basically what they did is a lot of people scavenge all that white mica
for
purposes. But can you imagine the sight walking into Egypt seeing not only these huge pyramids, but all white mica. I mean, that was gleam everywhere. And I think that they were using them for multiple purposes, but I also think that they were using them for a form of free energy, a type of test.
I mean, if you look at where, like, the great Pyramid of Giza, all the pyramids around the world, they're all kind of lined up perfectly around the globe. I mean, that's not a coincidence. That's not by accident. There's no way. There is no way, but they are. And I, like I said, I think it has something to do with the tectonic plates of the Earth. Maybe they're keeping this frequency going, and that's why we're having this experience. Maybe it kind of puts everything together. You know, well, who knows? You guys are flat earthers. Maybe it's what's keeping the dome in place.
What do you mean you guys are flat earthers? Are you not a flat earther yet, Gloria?
No, I'm something completely different. I'm not around.
You're not a globe subscriber.
No, I'm more of a frequency person. I believe that the reality is just a frequency. So if you believe that the Earth is round, that's what you see, and vice versa. But I believe that if you unplug the volume, the frequency, it falls to nothing. There is no round, no flat, no nothing. It just kind of, you know, disappears. That's what I believe. You know, and I have reason to believe that. It's nothing.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
It's just like things that I've seen and things that I've seen in dreams and things that I've been told when I was a kid in dreams, which I had no idea at the time what it was even about. But that's actually what I was shown.
So check this out. Okay, the Giza Pyramid was built using basically ancient cement. It's called geopolymer technology, but ancient cement, right? What about all the other megalithic sites? Like, for example, Machu Picchu in Peru, Petra in Jordan. Are you familiar with Petra in Jordan?
Yeah, but is it the same kind of cement that they use there too? Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So think about it this way. Instead of making wood crates and pouring the ingredients inside, they did a reverse cast. So everything that they wanted, they poured this material on top of it. That's hence why you get a mountain, because it's just all clumped, right? So you pour the ingredients over this cast, and then you have the interior perfectly designed where you have pillars, you have statues that are perfectly designed because it's all made out of wood to begin with, right? And they're pouring this ancient form of cement over it. Same thing with the terracotta warriors when they were made all perfectly to the features of
they didn't have to show with the terracotta warriors, though. Was that proven with the terracotta warriors that is cement poured over wood?
No. Petra in Jordan is, but the terracotta warriors is my guess is that they were using cast molding as well. We don't know how it works, but I'm guessing they use a form of alchemy as well. It was basically cast mold. How they did it, I don't know. But they were really big into alchemy at that time. And we thought they were all trying to make gold to throw us off the trail. No, they were using alchemy in practical ways.
Yeah, I 100%, yeah. Alchemy is a lot more than just gold. That's for sure. I guess some people would call it black magic, witchcraft, or whatever. It's a lot of different things with alchemy.
Practical science. I think alchemy is practical science. You know, when you can, you know, making an adobe house is a form of alchemy.
But they just label it as like being a bad thing. You know, it's part of magic and all this stuff, and it's bullcrap. Because I mean, people study that. It's actually kind of amazing the way they talk about crystals and the sound that resonate through crystals and memory and all of that stuff. You know, it's just not about making gold. It's pretty fascinating stuff, which the Pyramid of Giza also has a crystal in it too. So that's an energy conductor. Yeah. Kind of wild stuff.
Fascinating. And when you look at the ground underneath the Pyramids of Giza, and you can see that they have those aqueducts underneath them, you're like, oh my gosh, they were using that as a, you know, to make dielectric energy. Mm-hmm. What were they using it for? Healing centers, free energy, maybe to communicate, who knows? Maybe Tesla said back in his day that he thought that there would be a time where we would be able to use his technology, the dielectric energy, not the Edison energy.
But they're hiding that though, you know, hiding that. In my opinion, I think you might agree with this, but I've never asked you about this topic, and I don't talk about it a lot, but to me, it's kind of an obvious thing. I would think that, you know, the big companies like National Grid and these other electric companies, they're just harnessing power from the atmosphere and charging us for it. That's
well, just
what
like,
I feel.
Just like the turbine engines in the airplanes, you know what I mean? It's like
exactly. It's just the jet fuel hoax. They're telling us they're using, 80,000 gallons of jet fuel and they're taking a flight and they're putting them in these little thin wings. And it's like, come on, man. It's so ridiculous when you actually look into that. And that is connected to the free energy because I think, okay, well, that's basically a form of free energy with the turbines and the way they're pushing the air through there. It's just.
Right.
Free energy, that brings me to nuclear energy. Here's my input on nuclear energy. And I'm pretty set on it, but this is through my research is that nuclear, obviously, I'm sure you guys agree, it's not harmful. There's scientists that eat the radioactive material and it doesn't kill you. Otherwise, Fukushima and all these different places would be still toxic to this day, right?
So what are they
doing with this nuclear energy and is it real? It is real, but think about it like this. These icebreakers that they have that are breaking through this huge, huge blocks of ice in the Antarctic and stuff, those things are fueled by 8 20-ton nuclear engines. And the nuclear powers could fit in your hand. So it is, in essence, a portable form of free energy. That's what they don't want us to know. That's why they tell us that it causes huge explosions through nuclear warfare and that they have these guys in suits pushing out these big containers of nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It has nothing to do with it's all of my fuck. It's just like how they tell us the Great Awakening, Gloria. It's like how they tell us the apocalypse is this end of the world scenario when in reality it meant the Great Awakening. Just so when you look, it clouds you with the absolute negative opposite of what it actually is.
We're dealing in duality. Everything is duality. And that's actually how I come upon, and most people I think come upon most of the truths, is once you become a truther, you realize not only is everything a lie, but it's like the opposite, right? So you start to get like a little bit of a little bit of that MacGyverness in you, and you go, okay, well, I don't know about this, but I'm going to look at the opposite of it. And then lo and behold, there you go. There's your truth.
I agree.
Because they have to lie like that. If you're lying about everything, it's too hard to remember all your lies. But if it's just an on-off switch, opposite, negative, positive, it's easier to remember.
Well, that's why the flat earth is such a huge thing, because if they're going to lie to you about all these things, like the media, the shootings, just all these different lies, the medicine, everything, right? If they lie to you about the actual place that you live and the ground that you work on, well, that lie is like the foundation for all these other lies. And it just, no matter what you believe, even if you're an honest person and say you're a scientist, a legit scientist that actually does science, you're already considering that you live on a spinning ball and you're already taking in this false model into account and it's throwing everything off. Your whole equilibrium is already off, no matter what you're doing, because everything is a lie built upon a big lie. Like, it's all just bullshit.
It's crazy. Everything is a lie.
You know, I think it's kind of weird, not to, I guess, get off topic. Well, not really, but we were talking about jet fuel and, how planes fly and stuff like that. And I was thinking the other day about birds and when birds fly, like, especially when they synchronize, and you see like hundreds of them and they're just turning at the same time without crashing into each other. And, their wings, they actually tap into the frequency that's in the air. And that's how they're able to maneuver and not crash into each other. And that's basically how they fly. They catch certain frequencies and waves. Yeah. And it's like, I wonder, how come airplanes can't do that? Why do they need, why do they need fuel?
They don't. They don't need fuel.
Right. And I think I think they do need fuel, but I'm sure
a little bit to get it going.
Yeah, just like basically like a Prius, like a Toyota Prius. So in case they're in the air, they could always turn gas on if they needed it. And as they're starting off on the runway, of course they need some gas.
Right.
Other than that, they turn those things off and they're cruising up there.
Yeah.
It's like basically a sailboat putting its sails up.
No, I just think it's kind of weird. I mean, I think it's amazing the way birds can do that.
If you watch an airplane come in now, Gloria, now that you talk about it, if you watch some of these big jets land and you think about it, they're not going to look like they're being landed with an engine. They almost look like they're gliding.
Know
what I mean? Almost, as they're coming in, they come in real slow and they kind of – sometimes they do this and they look like they're gliding in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's
– You have a whole new set of eyes to look at things now. And it's like what you actually observe – is more likely to be the truth than what you were told. And that goes for every topic.
Yeah.
Trust your senses, people. Trust your sense. Intuition. Still do the research. Oh, yeah, oil. Go ahead.
But you know what, though, Brian? It has to be mentioned to you, unless you're like have that geniusness in you. I think it has to be mentioned. Like oil, for example, it should be common sense that, wait a minute, we're not running out of oil. They've been saying this for a long time. We're building more cars. You know, everything, the roads are made out of oil. Everything's made out of oil. Plastic's made out of oil. Matter of fact, a lot of people don't realize this, but gasoline, like diesel, regular gas, petrol, kerosene, all that stuff is a byproduct of oil as well, crude oil. So
yeah, Earth is alive. It's regenerating this. It's regenerating all this stuff, and they hit us with the scarcity on stuff that isn't scarce. That's regenerating itself. People are so stupid. They'll tell you it comes from dinosaur fossils. Okay, like I mean, it gets crazy and crazy. And we've never run out. As crazy as that already is, being dinosaur fossil, and we've never run out. Like, okay, how do you have shortages? Then it spikes back up, and we're fine. Like that makes absolutely no sense at all. None. And then all these things tie in together because then the population hoax ties into it. Because if you tell people there's 7 billion people rather than say there's a billion or whatever there is, exactly. Well, you can back up the scarcity numbers and the prices and all these things because you're going to say that they're harder to get because there's more people that need them.
Exactly. It's so true.
And with oil, it's renewable. We know this, right?
Right.
Also, so is every other mineral on Earth. There's more gold being produced. There's more, you know what I mean? There's more, way more diamonds. And they hide all
diamonds are only rare because diamonds are only precious because they said it was. They set the market. That's it. It's nothing special about them.
Nope.
I mean, they do have special qualities, just like all gems will, but they're not scarce. And, you know, they lie about everything. And the earth is continually making more and more, nickel, gold, magnesium, every single thing. So even when they lie about, oh, you know what, you guys, you're going to have to take vitamins because the soil now is so depleted that, you know, you're not going to get the same type of nutrition they used to get. They lie about everything. You don't even, because I'm a raw foodist, I know for sure the nutrition, because I check with, at least I used to, check the nutritional, the potassium and all the different stuff and the calories that are inside of different fruits and stuff. They're skyrocket high. Even the non-organic stuff is really high.
What about, Joey, what about iodine? Because they're always saying that we're iodine deficient, because our food doesn't have it anymore.
We are. But there's easy ways to get iodine, just seaweed.
Well, I eat kale, so that has a lot of iodine in it, kale.
Kale, but do you eat seaweed? You know, the dried seaweed, the dried rolls?
I eat seaweed. My mother's Japanese seaweed.
You eat seaweed?
It's so good.
My mother's Japanese.
Yeah, it's called nori.
Oh.
They call it nori, N-O-R-I. And anyways, what you want to do is you want to start eating it. Trust me. Believe me. It's not only is it one of the highest sources of iodine, but it's bioavailable. That means whenever you eat it, it actually gets put into use. And it's natural. It's been around forever. And it's easy to eat. You just make yourself some rolls. You put whatever, avocado and rice.
I'm allergic to shellfish. So would I be able to have seaweed? I mean.
Yeah, because seaweed is just a plant.
So that's okay then. All right.
And it's high in all kinds of other vitamins and minerals as well. So
iodine
is so important because iodine, it regulates our thyroid.
It's a lot better than kale. Metabolism. Honestly, seaweed than kale.
I love kale. I make kale chips. I love kale.
Seaweed has more flavor. Seaweed got more flavor. You can get seasoned seaweed too. It's really good. Like a little spicy.
Seaweed is probably one of the healthiest things you can possibly eat because, you know, a lot of people will notice that Asian people, for example, stay thin even when they get an American diet sometimes because they still have high iodine levels. Iodine regulates your metabolism. It's not calories in, calories out. If you simply start ingesting more iodine, your weight will start to regulate big time.
Let me ask you a question because I had, when I had my blood work done, they had tested for any kind of deficiencies and iodine came back okay. So is it bad to increase iodine right now if I really don't need it?
No, I mean, you're not gonna OD on iodine. You can urinate out whatever amounts that you don't need. So increasing your iodine naturally will do nothing but good.
And does it have to be in the raw or can I cook it? I mean, not cook it, like bake it, like make chips out of it.
Well, it's already going to be, they already bake it. So if you want to bake it and make chips out of it, no problem. You're not going to bake out the iodine. It'll still be in there.
Okay, good. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of things you can do. Like you can get your iodine, you can stick it in your iodine. You can get your nori rolls and the sheets and you can put it in the blender and blend it up into tiny little pieces. And sprinkle it on whatever you want to give it a little bit of extra.
I put it on my rice too, Joey. I have this little thing I used to get at the Japanese food store where it was like sesame seeds, seaweed, and a few other things. I would call it sprinkly stuff when I was a kid. I put the soy sauce on my white rice, and I would sprinkle that stuff all over it. And I used to also eat rice balls a lot, which is meat and the rice in it. And I don't like seafood. I don't eat sushi and nothing like that. I do eat dried squid. It's like the only seafood I'll eat, or haddock. But I'll put like when people get sushi, I'll just get the vegetables and the rice and the seaweed.
Yeah, that's called furikake.
Yeah.
Yeah, the furikake. Yeah, that's super good.
What do you go to, like Ada's, like all the health food stores, I would think, would have the seaweed chips, right?
Yeah, the health food stores should. You should be able to find them in the Asian market as well.
They're like a fresh market?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have one here. I'm going to do that. Because, you know, I mean, I trust the blood work and everything like that. But like you said, if you can't really overdo it with iodine, I think, yeah. You know.
And then another thing that would be really good, because, Brian, you said you have it on your white rice. Your steaming hot white rice, right? Something that you should add to it that's so, so good for you is one or two raw egg yolks.
I don't like eggs.
Kind of weird. Oh, gross.
Don't like eggs? Okay. If you don't like eggs, don't worry about it. But for those who do like eggs, egg yolk, not the white, but the egg yolk consumed raw over your hot rice, not only does it taste so good, but it's full of cholesterol, which is really good for you. And more importantly, it's full of choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E. Where else can you get your choline if you've never researched it before? It's a necessary nutrient in our body. You only get it in trace amounts in other foods. Egg yolks is a super concentrated source of choline, and choline is extremely important for our skin, for our brain cells, and for a lot of other functions in our body.
Yeah, but when you're putting it over hot rice, you're basically cooking it though, right? You're not ingesting it raw, because wouldn't that be salmonella poisoning?
Well, you know what? They say salmonella poisoning, but I'm a raw foodist, so I can tell you they lie about everything. They lie about everything.
I know they lie about just eggs in general. They're like, don't eat eggs because it'll raise your cholesterol. I'm going to tell you something. There are times when I do like an egg diet, and I'll just it's not even an egg diet. I'll just have eggs all day long. I have two for breakfast, and then I'll have two for dinner with some fruit. And I love eggs. My cholesterol is fine. You know, I don't believe that. I think everything, like you said, I do the opposite. They say it's bad for you. I say, no, it's not. And I do it.
Gloria, you know? If somebody is a burn victim and they're severely burned throughout their whole body or certain parts, do you know what diet they put them on?
Don't tell me egg diet.
The egg diet. They have them eat a lot of boiled eggs, cooked eggs, because of the choline inside of the egg yolks.
And what does the choline do for your skin, though? What does it make it just regenerate? It makes it...
Choline is a regenerator. Choline is so important. I don't go without choline in my diet, nor in my daughter's diet. You get it in breast milk. After that, you're not going to get choline in very high sources. So raw egg yolk, or you can cook your egg yolk if you want to.
How about poached? If you're poaching it, is it the same?
Wonderful. Yeah, poach your egg yolk however you want to get it. Egg yolk is a super concentrated form of tons of vital nutrients, including cholesterol. Cholesterol is so good for us. Without cholesterol, our body couldn't synthesize vitamin D, the sun and the vitamin D. Without cholesterol, we couldn't repair our arteries. Without cholesterol, our brain would not function correctly.
The sunshine, exactly. The vitamin D, like you're saying. I mean, you can't, I live in Florida. Dude, you can't go outside for more than 5 minutes and the sun doesn't feel the same anymore. It actually makes you itchy from the inside out. That's the only way I could explain it. The last time I sat in the sun for 5 minutes, I broke out in a rash all over my arms. I couldn't stop itching. It was like I was allergic to the sun. I've never had that before. And it lasted for a week. I ended up going to like a walk-in doctor, and I was like, a walk-in clinic, whatever it was. I was like, what is this? And she was like, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. Because what did you do? I was like, I was just sitting out on the porch for like 10 minutes. And I felt like I was actually getting allergic reaction to the sun. So I try to avoid it as much as possible. And that's vitamin D. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So what
you can do, a couple of things. One is, where were you getting the rashes? On your face and arms?
No, just my arms.
Okay, well then maybe what you should do is just cover your arms and let your legs be exposed. You know what I mean? Just play around with it. Another thing you can do is, you actually may be extremely sensitive to the sun.
But I never was, Joey. I'm always tan. I never was. You know, I'm like a light bulb tanner. I've been tanning in the tanning salon for like since I was like 15, 16.
Yeah, but that adds up. That adds up, and it's bad for you. So your skin eventually over time. My mom has skin cancer, so I speak from experience. Over time, it will add up. And what you can do to cure yourself, if that is the case, if your skin is starting to get damaged and you're starting to get bad reactions from it, because the sun is our friend, right? Apple cider vinegar baths or showers.
That's me. You see my house. Everything is apple cider. I clean my floors with apple cider vinegar.
Do you bathe in it?
There's certain female anatomies that you bathe in apple cider vinegar, and it works really good.
Well, it does. It works really good. So what I do is I take a full shower with just warm water. I turn the shower off. I get my bottle of apple cider vinegar. I do all my lower extremity. I mist my face and head. I pour it over my genitals, my armpits, everywhere. I pour it in real good. After that, I pour it over my head, and then I close my eyes, put it on my face, let it rub in really good, and then I turn the shower water back on and let it all rinse off.
But my scalpel?
No, I don't. The dilution is from when you first rinsed off. You're going to be covered in water still.
But you don't use any soap. You just use the apple cider vinegar.
Just apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, that kills every micro. Yeah, that kills everything. All the germs.
Well, the nice thing about it is not only does it kill everything, but also it doesn't affect the oils on your skin whatsoever. See, when you're using soap, even if it's like really natural soap or anything like that, you're stripping your body of those oils that actually like are basically the ozone layer of your skin.
Right, right.
But when those oils are stripped and the sun's hitting you, oh, it becomes very, very intensified.
Yeah.
So the apple cider vinegar, not only does it clean better than anything else and hydrate, but also at the same time, it does not strip your body of those oils whatsoever. It actually helps them to become stronger.
You know what? I'm going to try that. I might just dilute a lot because I use the apple cider and the raw, and it's kind of powerful. So I don't want to like, you know.
Yeah, dilute it. You don't have to go. I go strong because that's just, you know, I like it that way. But dilute it, you know, maybe 50-50 or whatever you want. And you will notice it the very first time, especially on your face. You'll look at your face after you take your shower and you'll be like, oh, I look so much younger. I used to have bags. If you look at me, Gloria, 7 months ago, you will not recognize me. I used to have bags underneath my eyes. I used to have a lot of freckles on my shoulders because of getting sun. Literally about every 3 or 4 days as I'm washing my body, mostly on my shoulders, I used to have freckles.
Mm-hmm.
It would literally, like, it would be like dirt. Like, it would come off, and now it's renewed skin underneath. Apple cider vinegar, it goes back to ancient times.
I take, not every day, but I usually take 2 tablespoons, but I do add a little salt, and I just ingest 2 tablespoons a day. If I have an upset stomach, I take it. I put it in my tea. I use it for really everything. I just never thought about washing my body, but certain parts of the body, yeah. You know, put a little bit in the tub and sit in there, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. But I'm going to try it on my hair. And I'm going to
try it. Oh, my goodness. For your hair, Gloria, it's the best. I mean, it's not the best. It's also great because for your hair, I use it for my daughter's and for mine. I don't have much, right? But my wife uses it too. Your hair, just like your skin, it won't strip it of any of its valuable oils. It hydrates it, and it won't be tangled or anything. And don't worry about that, the smell, because wash it out really good. I know you're into essential oils. Add a little bit of essential oil to add a little bit of a nice smell to it. There'll be no smell whatsoever, and your hair will be so healthy and so vibrant.
So I use a lot of, I do use soap, but then I kind of go over it with, because I make my own scrub with my pink sea salt, and I use coconut oil. But the thing is that the coconut oil dries out your skin. That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, the coconut oil will dry out your skin, though. So coconut oil is good for you to use on occasion for your skin. That's what people don't realize. Use it on occasion for your skin.
I think olive oil is better, or I started using, actually on my face, I started using Vaseline.
Well, don't use Vaseline. Instead of Vaseline, use hemp seed oil or grapeseed oil. It's so good.
I have
good.
Hemp seed oil, yeah.
Oh, good, good. You know, is it in a glass bottle, and is it kind of green colored?
Yeah, I bought it actually at Mother Earth. It is green, very dark green.
Yeah, that's awesome for you to use. Another two other things that are super awesome to use, Gloria, grapeseed oil, because grapeseed oil won't stain, it won't get on stuff, and it absorbs really quickly. Unlike
grapeseed oil. I tried it, and for some reason I'm allergic to it. And I'm not allergic to grapes. I don't know why I broke out in hives.
Well, then that's just your body telling you that it's not right for you. But try this out, Gloria. Red palm oil.
What is it?
It's called red palm oil.
Where do you get that? Because I use olive oil, too.
Yeah, well, red palm oil is full of CoQ10, beta carotene, and much, much more. But the most important part about red palm oil, besides the fact that it's really messy, I mean, you got to be prepared that if it gets anywhere, it'll dye that piece of clothing or anything the color orangish red, right?
Trust me, I use charcoal toothpaste. I know the mess.
Well, red palm oil is super cheap. And if you use it as a facial, you know, before you go to bed, just lightly apply it and lay on your back. It's full of CoQ10.
Where do you get that?
You can get it at any health food store.
Yeah, the CoQ10, that's what they put in different lotions and anti-aging creams and stuff like that. But who knows how much they put in it, probably like a microscopic dot.
Exactly. And red palm oil is the highest source of CoQ10. It's abundant in CoQ10.
And they have that in any supermarket?
Any health food supermarket, they'll have it.
Oh, okay. I'm going to do that.
It's amazing. I use it about once a month because it is kind of a chore and you have to wash it off really good because you think you washed it off good. And you have a shirt and you rub up against it. It turns out, oh, I still had a little bit on. So it's one of those things you don't do all the time. But red palm oil, oh, it's for beauty, it'll definitely make your face appear so much more healthy and vibrant. And obviously, if it appears more healthy and vibrant, you're doing something good for yourself underneath.
I tried red clay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ordered that online and I tried it. And it turned me orange. It's like, yeah. This can't be good.
I know. I look like an Oompa Loompa for about a day after I do the treatment. So that's what I'm saying. Do it once a month and just be prepared. Yeah. But what it does, the effects, oh, it's amazing. I'm not trying to make myself beautiful. I'm a guy, so I don't care too much. But even though I'm doing it just for the health benefits, I can
see. You feel better, man. You can feel better. You feel younger. You lost. Your skin's clear. I know you talked about your diet, so not to be too gross, but I'm sure, you know, what comes out of you doesn't smell as bad. Like, you know what I mean? Just,
yeah, you know what? The cool thing about the raw food diet too, it sounds kind of gross, but who cares, right? Now when I go poop, and when I, you know, you wipe to go poop or we have a bidet, right? But still you wipe. Usually there's residue after. Some people have a lot of residue. I don't have any residue at all anymore. And same thing with all raw food. So it's not just me. And what it does, the reason why that occurs is think about horses and cows and gorillas and all those other different creatures out there. When they poop, they pretty much tighten their butt cheeks, cut it off, and it's all gone, right? But not us. Ours is a big old mess. Not only that, but all animals except for human beings, their feces can be used as manure, not ours. But if you're on a raw food diet, well, then not only does your poop and your farts not stink anymore, but the residue, it's no more. I mean, you definitely are going to wipe and everything, but there's no residue left over. There's just might have to go a little more poop, and then a little more poop will come out, and then you cut it off, and there's no, I mean, you wipe, of course, but there's no need to, you know, use a whole roll of paper and, you know, wipe off that residue, because that residue is there because you're eating toxic food.
Do you eat corn?
Yes, I do.
You know, because people say that, I mean, you know, because of all the pesticides that's in vegetable, you have to go organic. But then a lot of studies have shown that organic still has some of it in there. So, like, what do? You know,
besides, well, our bodies, the human organism is the most amazing creation of all times. There's people who can live 100 years or 80 years eating a top ramen type of diet. So yes, it's good to stay away from all the ingredients that they add to, like, the pesticides to these fruits and vegetables. But if you can't get away from it, your body is so good at filtering that stuff out, you'll be fine. It's more important that you're getting the nutrition, the proper, correct nutrition. Of course, you want to eliminate pesticides if at all possible. But the most important thing that you can do is to eat raw food, even if it's not organic. I eat, like, for example, I never eat organic bananas because they're more expensive. And from my research, bananas that are organic compared to non-organic bananas, they're not going to get any difference because the peel on the outside protects you. Same thing with oranges and stuff like that. What you really have to be careful for is stuff like apples, grapes, stuff that it's actually sprayed to the part where you eat.
I wash it with soap. I wash all my fruit with soap. Yeah, I know that sounds crazy, but yeah.
Gloria, what I was going to tell you is that, have you ever heard of somebody getting a sunburn really bad and then applying apple cider vinegar to alleviate the sunburn?
No, actually, and I it probably works because I was told that if you have massive heartburn to drink apple cider vinegar, which scared the hell out of me, but it actually works.
It works for everything. It's a cure-all.
They're hydrating your body properly, helping you not get sunburns. I know, like, for instance, around here, like Tom Brady swears by that, and they call him pseudoscience for it. And I'm like, well, there's probably a lot of truth in that. Have you looked into that?
That's what the raw food diet's all about. It's about hydrating you, because every time you're eating raw food, you're getting not only are you not going to have the processed food that's going to damage your body, but you're also hydrating yourself. And more importantly than even hydrating yourself, which that's extremely important, of course, is our bodies cannot produce vitamin C. Neither can a guinea pig. Most other species can produce their vitamin C on their own. We need it. We need it daily, all throughout the day. That's another reason why the raw food diet is so important. If you're on a raw food diet, you won't get a sunburn anymore either. The raw food diet is like your basically your natural built-in sunscreen, because we've all done our research on vitamin C. We know it's important, right? But it's actually the most underrated vitamin in the world.
Yeah, well, that vitamin C is actually linked to obesity. A lack of vitamin C is linked to obesity. It's linked to cancer. It's linked to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Vitamin C deficiency. But the only thing is, a lot of people will go out to the store and go buy 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and it'll just come out in your urine. It's like you never took it.
Well, yeah, it won't. And because what they take that they think is vitamin C is actually called ascorbic acid, which is made in a laboratory. And the actual molecule that we call vitamin C is a symphony of over 500 different molecules. And the outer ring of it is what we call ascorbic acid. The only thing that that vitamin C does is prevent scurvy. It's not giving you the benefits that you get in Mother Nature with the whole symphony of other molecules. There's about 500 different molecules that makes up what we call vitamin C.
I bought vitamin C in the health food store and in Mother Earth. And I mean, and you read the ingredients and it's completely different than what you would get at Walgreens, like the synthetic kind. You know, this one has the rose hip in it and it's all natural and stuff like that. It actually hurts my stomach. I don't know if it's because it's too potent, but I feel a lot better when I take it. And a lot of people that get, what is that called? When their stomachs blow up, cortisol. I noticed that not only apple cider vinegar helps with cortisol, but vitamin C helps with cortisol too.
Vitamin C is so important. It's important for every single function of the human body. And think about it. We can get that so easily just by eating raw fruits all the time, but they lied to us and told us that bananas are going to make you gain weight or maybe increase your chances of diabetes. What a joke is that? I don't see any gorillas with diabetes.
Right. You know,
it doesn't make any sense. High in the glycemic index? No way. Even, cherry, all the different fruits, they're all loaded.
What's really high besides oranges that are high in vitamin C?
What else is high? Well, there's tons of fruits that are high in vitamin C. Like, for example, acerola cherries. Have you heard of those?
No.
Acerola cherries, it's one acerola cherry has 100% USRDA of vitamin C in it, just one cherry. Yeah, so there's a lot of fruits that have a lot of vitamin C in it. And you don't have to load yourself with vitamin C. Just get vitamin C in your diet every day. Eat a banana, eat an orange, eat some exotic fruits especially, because you're going to get not only the vitamin C, but all the different molecules that are inside of those fruits as well. Our original fast food was fruits. You know, it makes sense. You smell a fruit at the store. Oh, you just want to eat it when it's ripe, right? Well, that's your taste buds telling you, I want everything that's inside of there.
Right. Well, I crave juicing. I love to juice. I just hate the cleanup. And what I do with all the pulp after I get all the pulp, I kind of make patties out of them. And I bake them with all the pulp. It's really good. But I love juicing. I love broccoli, spinach. I love it.
Do you drink milk at all?
No, actually, I hate milk. I won't even look at it.
All right, Brian, do you drink milk?
No, I don't like milk.
Okay, well, I'm still going to give this example, okay, because it's relevant. Lactose intolerance, you guys have heard of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let me explain to you why the raw food diet's so good using the example of lactose intolerance, okay? I'm not promoting dairy consumption, even though I'm a dairy consumer, raw dairy. However, I'm going to tell you why this example will explain the entirety of the raw food diet. So everybody who's lactose intolerant, when they drink dairy that's been pasteurized, not raw dairy, but when they drink pasteurized dairy, whether it's yogurt, ice cream, milk, cheese, well, cheese you usually don't have a problem with, but usually milk, okay? What happens is you get bloating and diarrhea really badly, okay? Almost everybody is lactose intolerant to a certain extent. Now, the reason what happens if you're lactose intolerant and you still insist on drinking pasteurized milk is you have to go to the store and buy a pill called lactate. If you turn the back of the box over, it'll say active ingredient, lactase. Well, lactase is the enzyme that's in milk naturally that's responsible for digesting the sugar called lactose. But when they boil it or pasteurize it, they boil out that enzyme. So now your body doesn't naturally have this enzyme in it. So now it's just going to come out as diarrhea or gas. However, if you had never pasteurized it in the beginning, just like our parents, when they used to get milk delivered to their door, they didn't have lactose intolerance. If you drink it in its raw form, not only would you not get diarrhea or bloating, but you would get the benefits of the conjugated linoleic acid and all the other benefits that are in it if you did decide to drink milk. The reason why I use milk.
Almond milk, though.
No, that's awesome. But the only reason, Gloria, I'm using milk as an example is not to promote milk, but to show you how the enzyme inside of milk being boiled out is responsible for why people are allergic to milk. Wow. So you apply that same mentality to everything that you cook. As soon as you cook it, see, every food naturally has inside of it enzymes that are responsible for digesting three different things: proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. The biggest killer is, believe it or not, sugars. When you have a sugar that cannot be digested in your body because there's not the lack of the enzyme for it, your body does not know what to do. It sends a plethora of white blood cells, and basically in the very end, your body ends up diarrheaing most of it out. Huh. Not only are you not getting the nutrition from that product, but you're putting your body through a lot of damage. Why? Because your body has to send out a whole huge, vast amount of white blood cells in response to it. Even though it's fighting nothing, it doesn't know that. It thinks it's fighting something. Now here's the drawback. Even though you diarrhea it out and you're basically fine, your body's getting taxed each and every time. Because to compensate for all those white blood cells that were expended, now it has to recreate more. And it takes an enormous amount of bodily energy to recreate more white blood cells. So the cooked diet, it doesn't work. Pottinger's cats was a study that was done for 30 years on cats. They had raw food only cats, group A, half raw, half cooked, group B, and all cooked food, group C. Long story short, the raw food cats, they thrived, no problems procreating. They were gentle towards each other, playful. The half cooked, half raw, they had a lot of problems, kind of like America today. And the last group, the all cooked group, they all went sterile. You know how people are sterile here, especially in America and all over the world too? Eating cooked food diets. It makes you go sterile. It makes you aggressive. It makes you all these different things because your body's in a sick, diseased state. Raw food is the only way to go. The only species on this planet that consumes cooked food is human beings.
Wow.
Raw food diet too. It's not boring. It's so fun. And you can incorporate things like white rice or brown rice, whatever kind of white rice you want, but you just wouldn't cook it. So, for example, a lot of people think that having your tomatoes and your onions and your mushrooms lightly sautéed, real lightly sautéed in extra virgin olive oil is going to be healthy for you. But on the contrary, it's not, because what happens to oil when you bring it over 180 degrees? It goes rancid. So you're consuming rancid oil. Not only are you consuming rancid oil, but the whatever vegetables that you put inside your pan, they've been cooked. So that means that the enzymes inside of them have been destroyed. Now what's going to happen is the same thing that happens when you drink milk. You're going to get upset stomach. You don't know what it's from, but it's because there's no enzymes in there that can digest it for you. That's why people sometimes they get the core of the pineapple that's full of bromelain, and they'll add it to their smoothie because it's full of enzymes. And the enzymes is the key to the raw food diet.
Can you steam anything? Are you allowed to steam?
Yeah, you can steam. Like, for example, if you want to steam rice, potatoes, anything like that, you can do that. That's going to be what they call a neutral food. Matter of fact, white rice that everyone's so afraid of is one of the most gut-friendly things that you can eat. A lot of Asian people eat tons of rice. If it was true that it caused obesity, well, then Asia would be probably one of the most obese places there is.
It's that healthy. White rice obesity. People actually think it causes obesity. White rice.
Most people think that it's a common.
It's very high in calories. That's why. That's why they think that.
Yeah, and they think calories in, calories out.
You eat raw rice. You don't cook the rice at all. It's just hard. Do you eat hard rice?
No, I steam it. I cook my white rice in a rice cooker, and I put sea salt in it, and some oil, and some organic soy sauce, raw fish, egg yolks, garlic, you know, kale, all that good stuff. You know,
you've got to look for like certain recipes, because I can't picture sitting there eating a cucumber for dinner with carrots.
See, that's what everyone thinks. So, for example, let's just say this morning for breakfast, right? I had steamed rice with a bunch of different vegetables, garlic, oils poured all over it, and some raw butter, which is so good for you. And it tastes good too. Mixed all inside there, right? And then for my snack, I had a mango smoothie. And then probably for lunch, what I'm going to have is a wrap. So I'll get like a romaine lettuce. I'll put some avocado, some raw cheese, cilantro, you know, all the different stuff, roll it up and eat it. So it's about being creative. And then for dessert, I often have this raw cashew butter or raw Brazil nut butter, because Brazil nut is very high in selenium. One Brazil nut gives you 100% of your selenium for the day. So selenium from your Brazil nut, you get some raw honey, you put some freshly cut fruits in there. Oh my goodness, it tastes so good.
And you eat bread, you eat flour.
No.
Oh, you don't eat white flour? So what kind of wrap do you buy? You buy like a
romaine lettuce.
What do you buy?
Like a lettuce wrap. Romaine lettuce.
Oh, okay.
Kale's really good since you like kale, because kale actually works a lot better than lettuce, because lettuce breaks real easy. So if you want to have like a wrap, you can use kale and it won't break, and you can eat it and it'll be really good, because kale's good for you. It's got tons of vitamin K and other stuff. And also it works perfect as a wrap.
Yeah, I like to use the Romanian lettuce because it's nice and wide. I'm going to look into some kind of things that you could put together for a raw diet. I want to see what they have.
Well, I do a raw food challenge. It's a 3-week challenge. I lost 50 pounds in 3 weeks. And what? Everybody who does the raw food diet does the exact same thing.
Yeah, Gloria, you didn't say that earlier. I made him bring it up about how he lost 50 pounds in 3 weeks.
I heard it when I walked in the other room. He says, oh, you lost so much weight. But I didn't hear how he did it. I didn't know it was from the raw food. Yeah. Wow.
Look at me. I'll try and look for a picture here in a second. I'll show
it's
you a picture.
3 weeks, 50 pounds.
3 weeks. And, yeah. You know, it might sound crazy, right? I'm like, what? That's absurd. That's
well,
absurd.
They tell us it's not healthy. They tell us it's not healthy.
That's only about 3 or 4 pounds a day.
Holy cow.
That's only 3 or 4 pounds a day. And think about it. I was overweight, so I needed to lose that. Now, right now, if I lost 3 or 4 pounds a day, that would be kind of, you know, that wouldn't be good, right? Because, you know, I'm in decent shape. But when I was 210 pounds, it was just basically a bunch of unwanted weight, right? But
right.
The person who does this diet, I run a program here in Maui where I do a 3-week no drinking and a 3-week raw food diet. And everybody who goes on the raw food diet, you can check on Facebook, a guy named John Foss just started it. His belt buckle, every single day, he has to poke a new hole in his belt buckle.
Yeah, so what happens when you lost all the weight, then you kind of just stabilize to what your body, the weight that your body wants to be at, and it kind of just stables itself, right? Oh, okay.
Yep. And when I lost that weight, I got no stretch marks, nothing, because my skin was recuperating at the same time because I was eating raw foods. So it's not like the paleo diet or something like that where you're going to get leathery looking skin and you're going to deteriorate your brain because you're not getting all the vital nutrients you need.
Right.
This one's like the cure-all for everything. And it's
the original diet, the keto bullcrap diet.
Yeah, there's all kinds of diets. And you know what? They do work, but they work for vanity reasons. They're not going to give you the ultimate. Right. And I can understand vanity. I totally get it. But the raw food diet works better for vanity too. You look better. You're thin. You're in shape. I don't even work out and I have like a 10-pack. Everybody does. If you strip down your anatomy, you guys have a 10-pack too. It's just that the raw food diet allows everything on your body to show. It shows
Brian,
all your...
Can you take your clothes off so we can see your 10-pack?
No. Stop begging, okay?
Hey, do me a favor, guys. talk story for about 1 or 2 minutes. I'm going to go grab a picture of me from just like a few months ago, just before I started this diet. You're not going to believe it. You won't believe it. Okay. So hang tight and I'll go grab that picture. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Well, Joe, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break. We're going to play a quick song. And so you do that and we'll be back on in 3 minutes. All right.
Sounds good, guys. See you in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Baby. Oh yeah, the music isn't coming out over there. Oh well.
No.
No, that is weird. I don't know, guys. Sorry, the music ain't coming over there, but everybody just take a 3-minute break, all right? I don't know, Gloria, are you still here?
Yeah.
All right, fuck the break.
They could hear you.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I did it in the chat, too. Look at the chat. Fuck the break. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's funny. That's really interesting. I mean, I heard a lot of people talk about the the raw food diet. But then, like, you think and you go, okay, so what do you eat? Just like raw celery, and I hate celery, raw carrots. But I guess there's recipes that you can.
Well, if you could steam rice and you can steam potatoes, there's already a lot more to it than you probably thought.
I bet you that's really good, too. I never tried it. The rice, like, I love steam. I go to a Chinese restaurant just for their steamed rice. But I'm saying the potatoes are probably really good, too. I never thought about that.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to be really good. Of course they are. Of course they are. So everybody listening, wow, we got a troll in the chat. Just don't shut the fuck up. Hey, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, all right? So, yeah, I'm going to ask him about his stuff with the he has some good thoughts on all the benefits of marijuana, too. I want him to talk about when he gets back, so we're going to get into that. Thank you, everybody, for listening, by the way. You're listening to the after show to episode 8 of the My Awakening video series. Today we did Joey Rocha. So we did an interview on his personal awakening journey through the different topics he's looked at and how it's affected his life and this and that. And we've done a bunch of these, and we keep them to about an hour. So we launched the second show. This is the after show. And like I said with the last one was really good too until we had a troll issue. But besides that, I mean, it's been really good. So he's been able to elaborate on a lot of things. Like, he's gone off on the raw food thing for about an hour now, and there's been some really good information, huh, Gloria?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, you know?
Okay, guys, so let me just do a little close-up here. See that guy in the middle?
Yeah.
That's me.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
What?
That's me with my wife and my baby. My face
is completely different, Joey.
Look at the shirt. They're hiding fat rolls. They're hiding fat rolls. Okay, now, I don't know if you can tell.
Goodness, that's crazy. But you don't even look, your face doesn't look the same.
Nothing looks the same. Matter of fact, at work, because I had to take 3 months off because I was injured. At work, when I went back, it's not like people didn't recognize me, like, oh, dude, you look so skinny. No, like they didn't, like when I gave them a fist bump, they're like, and I'm like, dude, it's me, Joey. It's me.
You look younger.
Oh, my goodness. I'm in my 40s. I feel like I'm in my 20s. No joke.
Your daughter just said younger. How cute. She just repeated what I said. She goes, you look younger.
So we took these pictures just before the raw food diet. Not on purpose, but I'm using this one because it's just a sample.
When did you say, when was that picture taken?
6 months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I started the raw food diet 5 months ago.
You want to know something? I didn't ask your age because I thought you were like, I want to say 29, 30, like that. I didn't think you were 40. That's crazy.
Yeah, all my bags underneath my eyes, my skin is tighter. I used to have freckles. They went away. My hair under right here, I was balding. I'm not joking. I was balding. You can see pictures, plenty of pictures where I was balding back there. It grew back in. And
goodness.
You know, I mean, everything. And this is no surprise to me because I was on this diet 10 years ago. So I knew that I would probably get these results. And I did. And now I'm sticking on it. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Wow.
The only difference is now when I'm on this raw food diet, I'm not playing any sports. I used to be a semi-pro athlete. But now I'm just a stay-at-home dad. But no working out, Gloria. Zero workout. Because not that I'm against working out. I was injured while I was doing this diet. My C4 was out. So everybody was saying, oh, how'd you get your six pack and how'd you get your muscles? Literally every single person underneath their anatomy has the same muscle structure.
Right.
Just that now mine has like saran wrap around it instead of, you know, so
my,
much.
My thing was my thing is really bad because I smoke cigarettes and I've tried.
Cigarettes are good for you.
You smoke cigarettes?
I smoke tobacco on purpose. It's super good for you, Gloria. Look, whenever the Native Americans were smoking out of their peace pipe, they weren't smoking
cannabis. That's bad for you, right? It's the filter. It's not the tobacco at all.
Look, even in the Olympics coming up, they're going to be banning tobacco and nicotine from the it's part of the banned substances. Why? Because it expands your lungs by about 20 or 30%. You ever notice you're out of breath and you're like, I need a cigarette, and everyone's thinking that's the stupidest thing you can do, right? But for some reason, it helps, right? Would expand.
Yeah, but you're talking about, what about all the chemicals that they put in cigarettes? Are you talking about like
Yeah, get the natural tobacco.
Before it goes through companies that put filters and all that shit.
But the Indian ones, right, Brian? Is that the one, the cigarettes, the Indian ones?
Yeah, just take the filter off. And then
on any cigarette, just take the filter off.
Any cigarette, take the filter
off. So it doesn't matter of the pesticides and all the chemicals that are in it.
It does. Try to get the kind that is free from that. But the most critical thing is the cigarette butt. Okay, so cigarette butts and cancer, especially lip cancer, they're on the same spectrum of time frame, okay? Here's how you get lung cancer. When you take an inhalation of your cigarette, you're gonna also inhale the very end, the butt or the filter of that. And inside there is tiny little micro particles that shard your lungs. And when that happens, it allows carcinogens to build up. Now, that's how you get your lung cancer. Otherwise, you wouldn't get it. And you're supposed to, even though it does damage your lungs, putting smoke in your body, it's just like a Muay Thai fighter. When you kick the tree, eventually you become stronger for it. We're not supposed to be docile. We're supposed to be active. And it strengthens your lungs. It helps you in your older age. But even just as important as that, it opens up your pineal gland. And opening up your pineal, that's why smokers gather together and they get along. It opens up your pineal gland, your third eye. And it's so beneficial for you. So
do you think it's better? Would it be better to just go to a smoke shop, buy tobacco, and roll my own than it would be to go to a book? Oh, jeez. So
go ahead. After that, why don't you tell people about what we're going to talk about, the benefits of marijuana smoking?
Oh, yeah. I will. So what was I going to say with tobacco? Oh, yeah. And another thing, Gloria. I'm sure you notice this. You probably have a smell from smoking your cigarettes, right? Your clothes smell a little bit. Your fingers smell a little bit. Yes. And you get a little bit of that yellow. That's all from the filter. Because whenever you're smoking your cigarette with the filter on it and you people get lip cancer, it's whatever side of your mouth that you have that on. Because, first of all, the filter gets a little bit hot. Not too hot, but a little bit hot. And it's concentrated. So a portion of that smoke that's coming through is absorbing into your lips. Now, if you put some oil on your lips, it's going to absorb, right? So if you put that on your lip, that's where you get your lip cancer at. And also the smell that you're getting, try to smoke with no filter, and you'll notice, hey, nobody even knows I smoked.
Wow, really, Joey? I'm going to try that.
It's right on how do you hold your cigarette? Like this probably, right?
Yeah.
Right there on the butt. It's that smell is just constant. It's like holding a dirty diaper in your fingers. So,
and you want to know something? I bet you what happened? Oh, I bet you I would smoke less without a filter because it's more powerful.
Thank you for saying that. That's exactly what I was going to say. Just like people enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning, do you like your cup of coffee watered down so you have to have 10 cups? Or do you want to have one strong cup of espresso? You want to have one strong cup of espresso, right?
Oh, honey, so, you don't want to give me espresso. I'm hyper as it is. You give me espresso, I'll paint this whole house in an hour.
But if you think about it in that relationship, whenever I have my cigarettes, actually I combine them with cannabis a lot, but when I'm having my pure cigarettes or when I smoke it out of my pipe, you take 1, 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 big drags, and you're like,
yeah, but you roll your own, right? Is that what you do? You get just pure tobacco and roll your own. So you go to a smoke shop and buy it.
Well, I ordered online, but you can however you want. And I even have the cartridge roller where you put an empty cartridge in there. You do a little machine gun kind of thing, and it just loads it right for you. It's so easy.
Can you somehow get me that website so I could look at that?
Sure, and it costs like $15. It's so cheap. You'll save money. You'll be healthier. And smoking tobacco is beneficial for you. But the endocannabinoid system, Brian, in the 1990s, scientists discovered that we do have an endocannabinoid system. We have CB1 and CB2 receptors that are built into our bodies that are designed to take the lipids from these cannabinoids, from cannabis. That's why they called it the endocannabinoid system. And it turns out that it's the most important regulator of our body, more so than anything else. So it works in this retrograde fashion to where whenever you're ingesting or consuming by inhalation cannabis, it works in your body and it tells your body what to do. For example, if you have osteoporosis, you're not supposed to have osteoporosis and your body's supposed to be able to fight it and heal it right away. You're not supposed to have lingering diseases into your old age. Your body doesn't turn it off until something tells it to. We have CB1 and CB2 receptors in our body that when we inhale or ingest cannabis, it tells our body the exact right thing to do. So instead of our body having osteoporosis, it sends it from osteoclast into osteoblast. It actually tells your body what to do. It's like the maestro conductor of your body. It's really important to have in your system.
I feel it opens up your mind a lot too. And I don't just mean because you get high, you sit there and you think, But I mean, like, you know, even if you look at the, like, okay, we're both into flat earth a lot. Like, how many flat earthers have you met that actually don't smoke? The percentage is actually really low. It seems that people that are really aware of some of these things, they actually, yeah, we all smoke weed, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying weed and wake up and real earth flat and NASA's lying and 9/11's, and you're not going to just do that. But I'm just saying it seems that we all, and people have become more and more open about it. You know, a lot of times, like, people wouldn't get on video just smoking weed. Now, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to smoke weed. I'm doing this video.
It's legal for a reason. It's legal for a reason. They didn't want it to be legal, but here in Hawaii, it's legal as well because it's medicinal. And it's been proven to be medicinal. So it's extremely good for us. Our forefathers were inhaling it. They were eating it. And you know what's so cool?
The best people is withdrawals, all types of shit.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And another thing that a lot of people don't know about cannabis is that eating it in its raw form is the best way to have it. Even the flower.
I watched a video the other day. I watched you eating it. I watched you eating it the other day on that video you have.
Yeah, but here's another thing that a lot of people don't know is it sounds kind of funny, but the ash from both your tobacco and your cannabis, you should actually be consuming that. Here's the reason why. I know it sounds crazy. Here's the reason why. Do you have any animals?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have two dogs. Yeah.
Okay. Look on the back of their food, and it'll say all kinds of stuff: crude protein, crude whatever, and it'll also always say crude ash, A-S-H. Ash is basically the burning of something, right? So ash is an important element for our body. We actually need it anyways. You don't have to get cannabis ash, but cannabis ash, it's pure because you're the one that smoked it, so you know where it's coming from. You save it in a jar and you add a little bit to your smoothies, you won't notice anything because it has a malt flavor anyways. And it's good for you because your body's getting the requirement of ash and it's increasing, it's enhancing your endocannabinoid system.
Well, you know, we use ash to remove color because I'm a hairdresser. So if we get color on the scalp, we just use ash and it comes right off. That's interesting.
Ash is one of the things that was used in the construction of the pyramids. Sand, water, lime, and ash. Ash is extremely important. Every single animal feed will always have ash in it. It always has to. And we actually need ash too. So every single part of the cannabis goes to use.
Oh, wow. This is so interesting. I'm going to go eat my ash right now.
I know. People always joke about that. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't going to eat my ash. I'm not going to eat my ash. I'm like, well, don't eat your ash. You don't have to. It's not like something that if you don't do it, you're screwed. But look, you want to be at your optimal, especially if it's easy and it's basically free. You're throwing that stuff away. And if you don't, if you have a lot, like I smoke a lot, so, you know, I wouldn't need to consume all of that ash. I use some of it for fertilizing. It's the best for fertilizing.
What about on your skin? You ever use it on your skin as like some kind of scrub or something?
I do it as a salt. So I'll put some, basically all I do is I put water and a little bit of this paste that we have here in Hawaii, this like clay. It's just natural here. And I rub it in my face. I let it sit and it works great. You know, ash is good for reconstituting.
Right, volcanic ash, I guess, is good for
you. We have volcanic ash, a lot of it.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I did tell people I would take questions from the chat. And I know I asked you the question about what you're talking about now. But Thirst for the Truth in the chat said, Joey mentioned 2020 and 5G at the end of the last show. Any more thoughts on that? Amazing before raw food pick, by the way. Awesome transformation, Joey.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's full body, too. Like, my legs are so strong, my back's so strong, everything's so strong. But, you know, it's the raw food diet. But the 5G, from my research, you know, sometimes we don't know, right? We're just doing the best with our research. But I believe, and I'm sure you guys agree, that the millimeter wavelength that they're working with, the 3 millimeter wavelength, is such a low wavelength that in conjunction with the radio and the triangulation of all the different 1, 2, 3, and 4 Gs, I think that they're going to have the ability to come 2020 or just shortly after actually use some form of mind control on us on a subliminal level to where we don't even realize and we think they're our own thoughts. For example, Gloria, if you were a vegetarian, let's just say you're a vegetarian, right? Well, they can implant in your mind that, no, you're not a vegetarian. Or if you believe that crystals held power, they could just tell you, no, they don't.
And but do you think that that's going to have any power on us that are awake? I don't know.
I think it's so strong, Gloria. I think it's so strong that there's very little ways to get out of it. And I think that's why also they've allowed all this truth to get out, because they know that the ends justifies the means. They're gearing towards 2020. and they know that, hey, we're not going to build up, at least in their opinion, we're not going to build up enough numbers to overthrow them, because these 5G towers, once you flip that switch on, I don't know what it's capable of, but that's my personal.
We have to have faith and believe that the Creator won't allow that to happen, because I believe he's the one waking us up. So I hope he protects us from that, and maybe it'll have the adverse effect and really wake us up. You know, maybe it'll backfire on them. I hope so, because that is kind of scary. But like I said, maybe it'll have the adverse effect.
I think so, because we're using their own system, you know, right now to beat them. And I think that they underestimated us. They completely underestimated us. And what they underestimated was not that we would learn this information. It wasn't that, you know, because it does take a small amount of us are going to catch on, right? But it's the bravery that we exude. And the perfect example for that is the supposed myth of Plato's caves. It's actually a true story. And for the audience, if you're not familiar with Plato's caves, I'll sum it up real quickly for you. Plato had slaves. It was okay back in those days. And then he had caves where slaves had babies that were raised since birth to believe you can trick anybody into anything, right? You can make them think Santa Claus is real, right? So they made them think that these hand puppets creating these shadows, creating hand puppets on the wall were real. And what was outside in the sun was actually fake. And they all believed it and they stayed in their caves. But in each one of Plato's cave stories, there was always one or two heroes that realized what was going on. They actually tried to tell everybody. Everyone told them the same thing. You're out of your mind. They went out and explored it, found it to be true. They found it to be true, came back and told their fellows, hey, I actually went out there and it's real. Every single one of them still didn't believe them. And you know what's crazy about Plato's caves? You would think they would have dug out and said, all right, guys, I tried to tell you. No, they stayed there. They still stayed there with them, just like us. You know what I mean? We could give up on the truth community, but we don't. We're still doing these shows. We're still, you know what I mean? We can go live our normal lives, but we don't want to, because there's something in the human spirit, the world, that we need each other. You know, a person can only survive 3 days in a white room without any interaction before they start to go crazy. We need this human interaction, and we need to, you know, we have this inside of each and every one of us. We have this desire to have us all be Ubuntu, I believe.
Well, that's why I hope God will protect us from this. And like I said, maybe it'll have an adverse effect and we will wake up even more than we're woken up now. You know, maybe it'll just backfire.
Oh, you know what else I wanted to talk about with the sun is it's really important whenever we're getting our sun to be grounding at the same time. If you don't know what grounded is, that means either you're standing barefoot on the ground or you have a pair of grounding shoes on. What most people do when they're getting a suntan at the beach or somewhere else is they're elevated on some type of apparatus or chair or something like that, and you're not actually grounding. And when you're not grounding, it's a big problem, because yes, you're getting the vitamin D and all that good stuff, but you're also getting the damage from the sun's rays. And as opposed to if you were grounding, like actually walking on the ground or laying on the ground or having some type of grounding mat on you, what happens is you are protected by Earth's electromagnetic field. You're actually tapped into this electromagnetic field. So you're creating your own basically electromagnetic field all around you all the time. And even besides the sun, when you're just walking around in your daily life, if you're not barefoot, then you're not grounded. You need to get some grounding shoes. They're really cheap to get. And it creates a barrier around you to where those electromagnetic energies aren't going to really damage you so much.
Oh my God, you're going to have me bathing in apple cider vinegar, eating my ashtray, and then wearing a freaking grounding shoes. I'm going to put aluminum foil on my head. My son's going to think I'm nuts.
Don't ever put aluminum foil on your head. That'd be the worst thing you can do. That joke that they made about truthers wearing aluminum foil on their head, that'd be the worst thing you could do. If anything, honestly, I know it sounds crazy, but if you wanted to ground and you were MacGyver and you were stuck in a place where you couldn't ground, literally get some aluminum foil, tie it around one of your feet, you know, your toes, make a little toe ring out of it, and you will actually be grounding.
Copper have the same effect, because I wear copper bracelets.
That's even better. Even better. But you need to have them on your feet.
All right, Joey, let me ask you a question really quick. As far as the copper bracelets, I have two. I guess they were, and I have a Tibetan bowl, but whatever. But the two copper bracelets that I wear, I notice that when I wear one on my right and my left, I break out in hives.
Yeah, you need to have – so the problem that people do, it's fine if you have jewelry on, like copper, around your wrist, anywhere. But if it's not on your feet, then you're not grounding. And what's happening is you're actually getting even worse effects, because it's radiating into your body and it's not while you're not grounded. It's like, for example, if you're in an electrical area,
it's like looping back into it in a circuit rather than having somewhere to release the energy that she needs to get rid of out of her body.
So what you should do, Gloria, is you should go and buy a silver or copper, preferably copper, toe ring, and you will always be grounded. Not only will you be grounded whenever you're walking around in your shoes, but let's just say you're on the 21st story of the Hyatt Regency and you're on vacation somewhere. Well, you can't ground over there, right? Wrong. You actually can. What happens is just like how a Wi-Fi works, there's the Earth's field and then there's your field. When those two can connect and meet, you're still grounded. So if you can wear just a copper toe ring, I know it sounds silly, you will be set. Look at what all the Egyptians, Native Americans, etc.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you look at the Sumerian, like the Sumerian text, and it looks like they're wearing watches, they're wearing copper bracelets. Yes. But I noticed that when I wear two, I break out. I have actually shortness of breath. It's really weird. But if I wear one, then I'm okay.
Also, Gloria, you can have too much copper in your diet sometimes too. I mean, not in your diet, in your body. And your skin is basically an organ, right? So it's going to absorb it.
Like within hours.
Yeah. So you're, what's that?
My skin completely turns black right around the bracelet after a few hours of wearing it.
Yeah. So you might be absorbing too much copper. And also, more importantly, I think that you just can solve all of that by simply wearing a copper toe ring.
I'm going to try that.
You'll be grounded all the time. And plus, for the 5G, from all my research, the best thing that you can do to prevent that is to be grounded. And copper shoes, not copper shoes, but copper-soled shoes.
Get copper shoes, could you imagine? I live in Florida, dude. I'll combust into the ashes from the
heat. Hey, and you know what? You know how we were talking about lightning strikes up, right, in the earlier video? And you know about this too, Gloria, how lightning strikes up. Well, my family in New Mexico, they come from a reservation, and my side of the family married into Navajo side of the family. So we went to the reservation sometimes. And this is since I was a little kid, right? They used to tell us that it was an insult that people said that they were doing a rain dance, begging the gods for rain, because they knew all about agriculture. And so that what they would do is they would irrigate all their water in. They didn't need to beg for rain. What they were doing is they were hoping to get enlightened. So when you're wearing metal everywhere and there's rain clouds everywhere, you're not trying to beg for rain. You're trying to beg for enlightenment. There's negative ions in waterfalls, in waves, and a few other things. And there's extremely high negative ions, which are good for you, in lightning storms. So when they're wearing all this metal jewelry and pounding their feet on the floor, they were getting negative ions from that.
And what about magnets? Does that work the same, like magnetic bracelets or magnetic, you know, things like that?
Those are all good, actually, so long as your feet are grounded. That's like the most crucial part. If your feet aren't grounded, that stuff won't do what you want it to do, and it'll actually have a negative adverse effect.
Because I noticed a lot of copper, for some reason, there's magnet mixed in with the copper. So I was wondering, you know, because I try to always find pure copper, but I noticed that a lot of it has magnet in it, so I wasn't sure.
No, that's totally fine. It's really good for you anyways, because we have our bodies actually have, we're electrical beings, right? So right. Our bodies have magnetic parts to it as well. So it's really good for you anyways. But if your feet aren't grounded, then you're not going to get the benefits.
Okay. So should you do both right and left as far as like wearing copper, or is it okay to just do one side? I feel more balanced with two.
You can do both sides. You can do one side, Gloria. As long as one or both feet are grounded, you are A-okay all the time. So think about it like this, Gloria. If somebody was working on telephone poles.
She's climbing on you.
I know. If somebody's working on telephone poles and they're about to climb up a telephone pole to do a repair on it, what they have to do before they do that is they have to get a metal spike, pound it into the ground, attach it to their metal belt. That way, when they go up there and touch the wires, nothing happens to them. Zero happens to them. Otherwise, potentially, they could get shocked to death. Why? Because they're tapping into Earth's electromagnetic field. Oh, so you're already part of it instead of it being shocking you constantly. So the same thing applies when you're wearing copper on your toes.
I never thought of that, Joey. That's brilliant.
Yeah, so my wife taught me that. That's grounding. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought stones and all that, tuning forks, I thought they were all silly. But of course, nothing's silly. And
Tuning forks, actually, I don't know if it's my own imagination or what, but I'll just strike it like maybe 10 times, you know, one after the other. And dude, that puts me in such a meditated state. Like I'm ready for bed. I could meditate. I'm calm. It just calms me down. I had Recently, I had an episode of Vertigo, which just came on for no reason, and I started panicking when I get that because I start to projectile vomit. It's terrible. And I just, for some reason, my head told me to take out my tuning fork, and I did. And within, I want to say a minute, it was gone. The vertigo went away.
What did you take?
I didn't take anything. I took out my tuning fork, and I struck the tuning fork over and over for about a minute, and the vertigo went away.
That makes all the sense in the world, right? Because we're vibrational beings. So to have that right, that correct frequency, just like when you're tuning your radio station, it's playing anyways, but until you tune into that correct frequency, you're not going to be able to hear that music. Same thing with our bodies.
But I didn't think something like that would work, because I've dealt with vertigo because I had ruptured eardrums many years ago, and I've dealt with it on and off. Like, I have to sleep actually sitting up in bed, and I can't lay on my left side. I have to sleep like an elephant basically every night, because if I turn over on my left side, then I'll have vertigo, and it lasts for like 24 hours straight where I can't work, I can't move. And when I felt it coming on the other day really bad, I was like, oh my God. And then I start to get nervous, and I'm like, I can't do this, so I don't want it to happen. And something in my head just said, take out your tuning fork. And I did, and I just kept banging it and listening it from ear to ear to ear, and it went away completely. Went away.
I want to mention something else, just to be even more weird. Apple cider vinegar, you're talking about your ears, right? Well, with vertigo, here's something that really could potentially help you. I don't know if it would help or not, but it does for a lot of people. You lay on your side, you get a cap full of apple cider vinegar, you pour it in your eardrum, you let it sit there for about 15 minutes, it'll bubble all up, and you pour it out, and then you do the same thing on the other side. We have tons and tons and tons of disgusting stuff that's stuck inside of our ears.
Yeah, some people say peroxide, though.
Peroxide works great, too. But I'm just saying, since we were talking about apple cider vinegar, but the three things you can use is this. Apple cider vinegar, which is my preference, because it also hydrates your ear. Hydrogen peroxide works just as good, but the problem with hydrogen peroxide is that it strips your ear a little bit, so you can't do it as often. And then the other thing you can use, which works better than all of them, is lemon juice. Oh, my goodness, it works so good, but it's strong. So you can't use it very often. I do the apple cider vinegar in my ears every single time I take a shower.
Joey.
Yo.
Question from the chat.
Okay.
Derek in the chat asked, anything good for potassium for cramped up calves?
Yeah. Potassium goes hand in hand with magnesium. So raw nuts, raw seeds, and bananas is a perfect combination. Bananas is probably one of the foods that is most looked down upon, but it's actually, if there's any type of super fruit in the world, it's actually a banana. Banana has magnesium, potassium, and much, much more. But the reason why it's a super fruit is because it also has all the amino acids that you need, and it has the most important thing for our gut flora, which is called a prebiotic. Everybody's hip to probiotics. Probiotics are actually bad for you. We already have gut flora. You don't want a foreign invader in there. You want food for it. Food for the prebiotics in your stomach is that, not just the banana, but that white peel that's on the very edge of the peel and the actual fruit itself, that white stuff. You're going to naturally ingest some anyways, but if you peel a little bit extra off and stick it in your smoothie, that's a prebiotic, and that will help your body to actually manufacture. Our body can manufacture its own vitamins and minerals too. That's another thing that people don't realize. We have that ability because we have a fermentation tank that's sitting right here that we call a stomach. So for cramping and stuff like that, of course you want to stretch and everything, but bananas, and what I would highly recommend is Brazil nuts, raw Brazil nuts. They're extremely high in magnesium. Brazil nuts.
Spelled like the country Brazil? Or is it different?
Same spelling. And they taste delicious. They're extremely good for you, and you can get them at any health food store. Just one Brazil nut gets you 100% of your vitamin of your daily intake of selenium. And selenium is responsible. A lot of guys and girls, but a lot of guys get a little bit of thinning hair. Well, it's selenium deficiency. And that's just one symptom of selenium deficiency. Also, selenium deficiency causes poor eyesight, cramping, and much, much more.
I want to try the ear thing. I know that the ears are real nasty on the inside. I've heard of that before, and I've seen some.
Well, you'll
of that
hear it. Like, you'll hear it, Brother Brian. When you pour it in there, you'll actually hear it going crazy, like fireworks are going off in your ears. Now, the second or third application, you won't even hear anything, which will tell you.
Are you mixing it with water? Straight?
Straight. You can do it however you want.
The
add water on your body for the shower, but it's okay to just straighten on your ear. Well, what do you use to put it in? Do you just dump it in, or do you apply it with some sort of, you know, soft cotton, or what do you do?
What I do is I use the cap, Brian, and I fill the cap up with apple cider vinegar. I lay my head to the side, and I just dump it right in. And I either hang out while I'm in the shower, or I'll go lay down and think about things for a little bit, and I'll do both sides. You want to clean everything with apple cider vinegar.
What about the sinuses? Like I'm always like stuffed up and stuff. Like what can you use to clean out your breathing, your sinuses?
Well, there's a lot of different things that you can do. Are you near the ocean at all?
No, not really.
Okay. There's a neti cup you can get, brother, where it's got a saline solution, water and salt basically. And it sounds crazy, but you actually pour it up your nose, and you'll feel it. It'll go all the way up your nose. It'll clear your sinuses. That's why surfers and stuff, that's why they're addicted to going out there surfing and doing all their stuff. Not only are they getting the negative ions and having fun from the waves, but also water is naturally going up their nose, and it's clearing out their sinuses.
Brian, you know what you could do for that too, which actually works for me because sometimes I get really bad sinus infections. I'll boil water and I'll throw sea salt in there and I'll put a towel over my head and I'll just keep breathing that in and breathing it in, and you have to see what comes out.
It's essentially doing the same thing. You're just doing it very much more tolerable.
Yeah, the neti pot. I used to use that, yeah. The neti pot.
Brian and Gloria, I just got a message from my wife that I was supposed to pick her up. I didn't realize it was Sunday. And so normally I pick her up at 7.
It's okay. We've been on Friday.
But I want to show off my shirt before I go. The reason why is because my wife and I, we make a living off of selling these.
Do it again because it didn't go full screen when you did it. It should now. I got you locked on. Bible, flat earth. You want to give a quick shout out to the Bible real quick before you get off? Because I know you're a religious flat earther or you're into the Bible and stuff. Like, do you want to say anything real quick before you go, or you don't have time?
Yeah, no, I have time. I believe in the Bible. I think that the stories in the Bible of Yeshua are beautiful. And I think that if we have an open mind to everything, that we should have, even if you've closed your mind off to the Bible, relook at it again, because it does show you the flat earth in there, and it does have a lot of moral truths to it. And what throws a lot of people off about the Bible is the horrendous acts that God asked, like Abraham to do, for example, to potentially go and kill his son, sacrifice his son, and then he told him last minute not to. It's a whole in-depth discussion, but when you think about it, God from Old Testament to New Testament, basically just like a father, like I am a new father, you know, you learn. Sometimes you try to go the wrong way, but in the very end, I think that the story of the Bible is beautiful. God didn't have to tell on himself, but he did. And I think that's a lot more beautiful to me. And
okay, but what do you remember as far as Matthew 11:6? The lion shall lay with the lamb or the wolf?
Isaiah.
Isaiah, I'm sorry, you're right, Isaiah.
The, let's see, it's the lion and the lamb, I believe.
Right, so why does it say the wolf now?
Because it's Mandela. I don't understand what Mandela's all about, but I know it's to confuse the heck out of us.
But do you see the way the Bible is changing as far as it looks like an onion is being peeled back and it's starting to reveal the truth, you know, the way they manipulated it. That's how I look at it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's completely been manipulated because we're not even supposed to congregate at churches. We're not even supposed to give tithing to churches. Yeshua came down to say, don't do that. Don't go to synagogues. Right. Don't go to these places. Here's what you do. Be a good person. Love your neighbor. Don't cheat on your wife. You know what I mean?
The privacy of your own home.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you pray, don't pray out loud. That's another thing that we're not supposed to be doing. You're supposed to pray to yourself in private.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking, Brian. Yeah. Yeshua, I have a tattoo on my left arm.
Awesome. What is that written in, Hebrew or something? Or what is that?
Ancient Aramaic, which is just before Hebrew. And from my research, that's what Yeshua and all of his disciples spoke.
Sanskrit.
What's that?
Sanskrit.
Yeah, it's actually like a in between of Sanskrit and ancient Aramaic, which is awesome. Modern day Hebrew.
I think we could, Brian. We could go on for like hours and hours and hours.
Hey, take two tomorrow or whatever. Let's do it again. And I guarantee you. Well, as long as you have me on your show, Brian, I'll be on here, brother. I love talking with you guys. We can talk about 100 things.
Yeah, really. That's great.
Thanks a lot, Joey.
Thank you, guys. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Share too, but subscribe. Subscribe to Brian because he's legitimate. He's his heart is in it, and that's what I care about. So subscribe to Brian, please. I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me on, Brian and Gloria. It was a fun talk.
Yeah, Joey. Right. Bye.
Aloha from Hawaii, guys. You want to say goodbye, too? My daughter wants to say goodbye real quick.
Okay.
Glory, don't hang up. I'm going to keep the show on.
Look how cute she is. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Vaccine-free, born at home.
Oh, my gosh. She's beautiful. Joey, let me see her face. Pick her up again. Look at this kid's face.
Let me see.
Oh, my God. Look at you. Hi. Yeah.
Oh, you want to see what she would look like if she was in Australia right now?
She looks like a little doll.
I'll show you what she would look like if she was in Australia.
Yeah. Look at her face. How cute.
Okay, Choo Choo. Tell Gloria and Brian what sound a lion makes. Yeah. Okay, you guys. Aloha from Hawaii. I'll talk to you guys soon. Hopefully you'll invite me on your show. Even if it's not me being interviewed, I can just be like how Gloria is, just be like a hangouter, you know, and talk story because I love you guys.
Oh, I love you too, Joey.
Have all right, Joey.
Bye.
You're the man, Brian.
Aw.
Thanks, Joey. I'll talk to you later. All right, everybody. So you listen to Dose of Reality Radio. That was Joey Rocha. This was the Gloria.
I honestly,
hear yourself, Gloria. loaded up my channel so I could leave the link in the chat and autoplayed our last show. Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, make sure you check out our last show. We did an awesome show yesterday, right, Gloria? Me, you, and Paul?
Yeah. It was actually really good. Got my brain working today, research and stuff that he mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a really, really good show. What I'm going to do right now, guys, is I'm going to drop my link in here. Check this link out. This is to my main channel. This is where I have over 70 uploads. Why is it not letting me? Oh, my God. It's not letting me post it in my chat because it's a link. Hang on. I just got to switch my accounts. Just so everybody knows, I'm on a 90-day ban. That's why I'm on this channel broadcasting. This is my backup. So make sure you sub my main channel. My main channel is Stavely on YouTube. Switch my accounts. But I'm going to put that in the chat right now. I was just grabbing the link. What'd you think about the interview, Gloria?
Oh, it was awesome. Touched a lot of things. Yeah, pretty good. Well, I heard pyramids. I'm like, I'm on that. Let's go. And it just went into one to another. I think he's great. I think his daughter's beautiful too. Oh my God. That little kid.
Yeah, having noticed that most of these My Awakening interviews I've done, they've all been pretty good. Like RD's was phenomenal. Yours was phenomenal. Paul's, James, they were all real good. And, yeah. Not just because I think I came up with a good idea to do it, but I think that the people that I'm picking, and I'm not looking for people that, you know, everybody knows, right? These are the type of people I like to keep around me, you know?
But you know what it is, too? Brian, you're not just like one topic. You know, you go into so many different things that are really important. And I think, in a way, they're all connected. They're all connected, you know?
Okay. That's why I try and interview people. I'm not going to interview people that bore me. I'm going to interview people that I think are really intelligent and people that interest me. Well, people that only look into one topic, they don't interest me. You know, people that interest me are the people like the people that I've had on, and we can talk about different things, and they're all going to be people whose research I respect. So obviously they've all been smart people, everybody that I've had on. And obviously Joey's no exception. He knew a lot about the body and the raw food diet, but he blew me away tonight with that. He knew shit.
Yeah, definitely.
To fucking ask them anything.
Yeah, well, so everybody has a little bit of piece of the puzzle, and talking about it is great, you know.
Yeah. So everybody in the chat, I hope you guys liked it. We're gonna wrap up the show in a minute, unless if anybody has a quick question for me and Gloria, we'll take care of it. If not, I'm gonna sign out and go eat something and download the show to upload it to my main channel.
And don't forget to eat your ashtray. Eat your ashes. It's good for you.
Yeah, Delcor says, don't forget to give yourself a wrench, Brian. I forgot to give myself a wrench, so I tried to throw a link in here because I was signed in with my main account so people could just, like, click and sub my channel if they wanted to. Oh. And, like, I forgot to say that during the show. But I didn't even make myself an admin, so I, like, a moderator, so I couldn't
link. I couldn't leave the link to my page. It blocked me from doing it.
Oh, God. On my own.
Oh, it's such a nightmare what they got me going through. It took me 8 hours the other day to upload the show. Yesterday was all right. It only took a couple hours. But the last show before that took 8 hours to call.
I didn't get any notifications either, so for either one.
Random. YouTube's terrible with the notifications, I'm telling you. But you just got to do what we got to do. And eventually we'll have to move on to another site because, like, with the way they're censoring me now, and this, I'm not by no means the only one. There's plenty of people it's happening to. You know, eventually we're gonna
eventually you might have to take it on the road and start traveling with a microphone.
Well, you know what happens is anything gets too big, gets bought out, and then it gets censored, and you know the whole deal. So eventually, just like what happened with YouTube when Google bought it. So eventually we're going to find a new site, and then the same thing is going to happen to it. If we have to keep bouncing around every couple of years, I mean, that's the best we can do. That's what we got to do.
Right. I agree.
Using their system right now, but that's how I'm reaching the most people right now. I mean, I could still put them up on my website all the time like I do, and they are. Anybody that wants, by the way, anybody that's listening, I forget to say this a lot. If the shit hits the fan, both my channels are gone and you don't know where to find me, you can always find me at my website and all my content is there. Okay? All these shows, I'll be there in, you know, audio form. They're all on my site. And if you ever ask me for the video because YouTube went down, I do have the copies of the videos. I'll upload it to my site just so you can have it. You know what I mean? So everything's always on my site, so don't forget. It's the same as the name of this backup channel, The Real News Online. My site's therealnewsonline.com. Has been for years, exposes media fakery since 2010, 9/11, Flat Earth, Mandela Effect, all types of topics. We talk about everything. So just remember that. Remember my main channel, and everybody tell Gloria to hurry up and set up her channel because she's slacking ass on it.
I know. Well, I'm waiting for you to help me, so you're the one slacking ass.
Oh, don't act like I didn't put out 5 shows in the last week or nothing.
No, I know. No, I will. Definitely will.
And I've tried to help you. And yeah, thank you, everybody in the chat. Thank you for the input. And just remember, anybody you get to sub, have them sub both channels. I mean, that's what we can do right now. So thank you, everybody. And I'm going to interview Aaron Keith, the one when you guys see me wear the T-shirts, Gloria, on Brian's show.
Yeah,
he's really good. He's a really nice guy. He's really smart. And that's why we've been friends for a while. And I'm going to interview him next. So it's either going to be Tuesday or Wednesday.
If you want, Brian, you could actually get his link to his shirts and you could post that on my Facebook if you want.
Oh, yeah. All right. Cool. I will.
Yeah. Cool. Add a little something in there, you know, say this is whatever it is. And you could put that on there.
Yeah. No, I haven't considered a Discord channel yet. I pop into a couple chats here and there. I don't really participate, but no, I haven't thought of setting one up yet. That's just one more thing for me to do. I'm just making the transition to getting everything live on YouTube, and then all this shit happens. But right now, I just want to deal with that. My site, I got the new video editor, so I'm going to start making better looking videos. Like, you know what I mean? So Discord, though, it could be another plan. I will look at it a little more now that you mention it, just because I need another backup. But I have my site to fall back up on. I have this. I have Facebook. So I know that the Facebook and the YouTube, they're just going to keep fucking me. But hopefully it alternates. You know what I mean, Gloria? Hopefully my band, between my three Facebook accounts and my two YouTube accounts, hopefully they go in some sort of alternating thing where I can put information. Hopefully
we could all just come to your house and hang out. We could do it like that. And yeah, you can go
a real live hangout. A real live hangout.
Exactly. All right. Well, it was fun. Thanks for having me on so I could ask some questions. I think that was awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely awesome. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And everybody have a good night.